And hello, listeners. Welcome to Business IQ Radio. We are delighted that you're taking the time to listen to us today. And I'm here. This is Don Byrne. I'm here with my friend and colleague, as we do almost every week.
Almost every week.
And that's my co-host here, Andrea O'Brien, who is one of the key members of the Small Business Development Center for the state. Hello, Andrea. How are you today?
Hi. I'm doing very well. How are you doing, Don?
I'm delighted. And I want to thank you for arranging for our guest today. We necessarily don't pay enough time and attention to our neighbors out a little west of here, out in the Keene and Peterborough area. And I think that you've arranged for us to bring in a guest from the really successful and highly respected business incubator out there, Hannah Grimes Institute.
Yeah, that's true. You know, they're a real mainstay in the economic development picture for Keene and the Keene region. And they have so many great offerings. They do so much out there. They have a retail store for people who make things and want to sell things. They have an incubator. And the show today, the focus of the show today is going to be the Pitchfork Clinic.
Right. One of the things
the Pitchfork Competition.
One of the things I really like about Hannah Grimes is that they keep reinventing themselves. And because of that, they stay relevant to the community. So, for example, I remember I had the opportunity to attend their Connect event a few years ago. By the way, the food is fantastic. And I say to our audience, if you have the opportunity to go, definitely sign up and go. You'll have a very nice evening. You'll find it interesting. And you will have a very, very nice amount of food provided to you.
You're suggesting everyone go to the Pitchfork Competition.
Well, I don't know that much about it yet, so I can't say that. But okay. I will say that they have an event called
Connect.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they'll merge it with something else because they are constantly reinventing. Yeah. We should try to ask our guest about that. But a worthwhile group out there.
Yeah. Our guest is Kate Hickey, who is the program director out there at the Hannah Grimes Center. And she is... I think she has some experience as a Peace Corps worker. So she.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And how did you come across that? How did you get involved with this? Because I know that you guys are sort of regionally focused. So this is a little bit outside of your the neighborhood that they ask you to be responsible for.
Well, we have an office in the Keene area, so I would say that they are partners. They are strategic, collaborative partners of ours, and I happened to meet Kate because. I'm going to be one of the judges for the Pitchfork competition happening at the end of August.
Oh, great. Well, the other thing I want to ask you about just before we get in and we bring our guest on online, because she's calling in, I think, from Keene, so we don't want to keep her too long on the phone waiting for us. But I understand you have a new state director. You've backfilled the state director. Can you tell us who it is and a little bit about that person?
Yes. We have a new state director. Her name is Liz Gray. Liz was actually a guest on our show.
Oh, I remember her. Sure.
Yeah. She spearheaded the Live Free and Start resource webpage, and which is a great platform for all entrepreneurs looking to live free and start in New Hampshire, start a business, that is.
Well, it would be terrific to have her on the show sometime to give us how you guys are changing and developing and evolving as we go along. So I think on that note, we can actually anything else that you want to mention before we get into our guest here? Anything upcoming or exciting going on at SBDC?
Actually, there is.
Okay.
There is going to be an SBIR roadshow.
Okay.
SBIR for innovation and research innovation for small business. And it's coming to town August 23rd. So if you're an inventor, if you have a new product, you want to pay attention to this event, you want to be at this event because there will be officials from Washington, D.C., from the important agencies that have SBIR grants for small business, and that's I want to underscore that for our audience.
Great. And if they want to find out more, where can they find out more? Go to the SBDC website or call you or what?
They could easily go to the SBIR website and maybe Google road trip northeast.
Road trip northeast. Very, very good. Not Animal House road trip.
No.
Road trip northeast.
No, or they could always call us too.
That's great. All right. Well, on that note, why don't I turn it over to you to invite our guest here onto 105.1 WBNH, and I'll leave it to you to invite Kate onto the show.
Hey, Kate, thank you so much for making the time to talk with us this morning, and we really appreciate it. So, well, like we do with most of our guests, we'd like to know a little bit about you and how you ended up in New Hampshire.
And about Hannah Grimes, of course.
Of course.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me. And so how I got here, always a circuitous route. I never thought I'd be here, but I'm always looking for adventure. And I used to live in multiple urban places, but would vacation in rural, you know, mountainous lake areas. And I thought, wouldn't it be fun to reverse that? So live in a rural area and perhaps vacation in cities. So that's what brought me to New Hampshire. And then I work at the Hannah Grimes Center, and I've been in that role a little bit over a year now as the program director. Our flagship program is our business incubator, and we started that really. Hannah Grimes, are you guys familiar with the story of the Hannah Grimes of our center?
We are, but I don't think our listeners are, so if you'd like to give us a little recap, please do.
Sure. So our executive director, Marianne Christensen, moved to New Hampshire after living in urban places herself. She bought a farm, and she decided to make and sell soap. What she found was that she could sell this soap in really other areas like San Francisco and Paris, Norway. But
that must have been some soap, I have to say.
I know.
Wow.
I know. I'm still trying to get my hands on some of that, some bars of that soap. But she couldn't sell it in Keene, where she lived. So she decided with other artisans and makers to basically open a store on Main Street called the Hannah Grimes Marketplace. And the goal was to have a year-round marketplace for local artisans, makers, vendors to sell their wares year-round, hence on Main Street, and then also to offer education and business support to those artisans and makers. So after the store closed, she would offer classes on, you know, bookkeeping and cash flow and marketing and things like that.
Wow.
So in 2011, I believe, or I'm sorry, 2006, we were asked to take over a business incubator, and that's where the Hannah Grimes Center came to be, where we started officially with a business incubator program. And if you guys are familiar with business incubator programs, oftentimes in our, you know, our urban counterparts and metropolitan neighbors, they tend to be sector focused or cohort focused. But here in a rural area, what we've decided to do and what works for us is that it's not sector focused. And it's a rolling admission, so to speak. And what we found is that most entrepreneurs really struggle with the same things. It doesn't matter what sector they're in. So that could be marketing, that could be bookkeeping, that could be cash flow, that could be pricing. So it's been a really rich incubator in that way that in many ways they're not competitors. They're quite honestly, they collaborate a lot together and network really well together.
It's great. And I wanted to say that it's got a great reputation. Hannah Grimes does as an incubator.
Yeah.
Who is Hannah Grimes?
So that's always the second question beyond what we do. So Hannah Grimes, so that's why I always like to start with Marianne's story. So when she researched the history of the farm that she purchased when she moved here to New Hampshire, the historical provenance of the house? The family that built the farm was a woman named Hannah Grimes. And when she was doing her research, she found that what they didn't make or grow themselves, they bartered or bought from area neighbors. So it was a very hyper-local way to support yourself and your neighbors and your community. And really, she took that inspiration when she opened up the marketplace. And this is really before the buy local movement, which nowadays is, a no-brainer. But in the 90s, not so much.
Wow.
And
when you say buy local, how local are we talking? Are we just talking west of the Monadnock, west of Temple Mountain, or can anyone in New Hampshire take advantage of that retail place?
Yeah, we actually do a 150-mile radius, I believe, from Keene.
Hmm.
So that's what we're considering local.
Okay. Interesting.
And, Kate, about how many businesses do you have in the incubator right now? Because We're obviously a little bit familiar with the incubator here in Manchester and the other ones across the state. And because of Andrea's background in the SBDC, we have some knowledge of these things. But I think I've lost touch with how you're doing out there in Keene.
Sure. So our offices, right now we have about a dozen entrepreneurs in the business incubator program. And, you know, that kind of fluctuates, of course, but usually I think it's a solid 12 to 14 is what we're looking for in that program. And for those entrepreneurs, what's really nice is that they have the basically 24/7 access to the facility, which offers conference room and private meeting rooms and other amenities that come with being in the program. And then the programmatic aspect of it would be that accountability and community. So there are monthly meetings as a group, as the incubator group. There are one-on-ones with myself. And then there's goal setting, strategic goal setting, check-ins, and that sort. Because oftentimes what we see as well with rural businesses or businesses, small businesses starting up, you know, it's a shop of one, it's an army of one, and it can be overwhelming and lonely. And that's what's really nice about that incubator, where there's that community aspect and the accountability aspect.
Right. And I do know from some emailings I get from you folks that you are also very good at running a full suite of different kinds of programs and classes. And I believe those are open to anybody to attend, right?
Exactly. So you don't have to, so entrepreneurs don't need to be in our business incubator program in order to take advantage of all our other services and programs that support small business entrepreneurs. So that would be our pro bono coaching, where there are experts and consultants who volunteer their time to offer pro bono coaching to entrepreneurs that come through the Hannah Grimes Center. Ranging from social media to business planning to QuickBooks and bookkeeping to we actually have an attorney as well. So it runs the gamut with that. So that's a really great entry point to Hannah Grimes. We also have timely workshops. I think as things change or trends start to focus in on other things, we try to make sure that our workshops reflect that. So some workshops are hard skill based. So Excel spreadsheeting, you know, the very basics of getting some employees upskilled in Excel, which is a really powerful program for small business entrepreneurs. And then also we have more, you know, relational workshops when it comes to networking, when it comes to, you know, how to give difficult feedback to somebody, to stress and
Andrea is quite good at that, by the way.
Oh, it's a skill, and it takes practice.
It does,
and,
sure
you know,
does.
It's uncomfortable, and so we do workshops on that as well, where we partner with, again, experts who are well-versed in how to present that information and also offer practice. So the workshops are great, and then, of course, you know, we have a plethora of other things, and alongside that, and, of course, our Pitchfork program, which we started in the fall of 2016.
Yeah, we'd like to focus on that for a minute.
But before we get there, I'd like to just probe out a couple of other things, if I may, as you're talking.
Sure.
Because what I find interesting when we have the opportunity to speak to people from the different business incubators, as well as the different organizations across the state that support business, is to get a sense of what is the makeup of the industries or makeup of the businesses that are emerging, because from my standpoint, this lets me get a good sense of the profile of that community and what it is that, you know, they're birthing in terms of new ideas and new businesses in the area. So can you give us a sense? I mean, I think a lot of us, particularly in the eastern part of the state here, when we think of Keene and we think of the western part of the state, we think of maybe forestry and some kind of tourism. But I think you're a much richer blend of businesses, aren't you?
Yeah, sure. So for the business incubator, you know, currently we have, just to give you an idea of the different kinds of businesses that are in the program, we have a family law attorney. We have somebody who's incubating a microbrewery. We have somebody who's incubating more of a website design consultancy firm. So it really runs the gamut when it comes to the types of shops that we have in the Business Incubator Program.
And if you were to profile the people doing these businesses, of course, you have the university. You have two universities
right
there in the area. Are you getting new graduates from the university? Are they, you know, non-traditional students that are graduating university? Are they people who are coming in from a second career and wanting to start up a business? Can you give us a sense of who it is that makes up your profiling your membership there?
Sure. So definitely we see some really wonderful talent coming out of King State College and Antioch University, New England. What's been really fun to see is probably getting in there a little earlier before they graduate. So oftentimes what we like to do is really to see them obviously before they graduate, so they understand what resources are available if and when they decide to pursue that idea that they might have. And a great way of doing that really is through through King State College's internship programs. We've really had a nice relationship with wonderful talent when it comes to seeing how they develop and what they want to develop in their own skill set, and perhaps maybe not right away, but perhaps later on down the line, they have a taste as to what it would be like to start their own business, whether that's in graphic design, whether that's in marketing, or what have you. And then what we've also seen through just being in the same town also as Antioch, what we've found too is some really great talent coming through Antioch when it comes to, right now we have somebody, they're not in our business incubator program, but it's certainly a business that we've been working with and coaching with, is Elm City Compost Initiative, where they're trying to set up home curbside, so to speak, mm-hmm. compost pickup business service, which has been really fun to see them start and launch.
Well, I know that.
And they're part Antioch. I believe that one partner, maybe two partners, are from Antioch. So it's been really fun to see what's coming out of the colleges and universities, for sure.
Yeah, the university students are so tied into sustainability and the topic of sustainability. And I think they're going to teach us a few things, like composting
what I recognize from your comment is I know that Antioch has some terrific programs in sustainability. I think they're actually offering PhDs in sustainability, and of course this is right in Andrea's backyard, because she's the sustainability person for the SBDC across the state. So it's good to see this. I think in some level that's an example of citizen responsibility stepping forward and community responsibility stepping forward.
And, I think that's a really important thing for the Monadnock region. I mean, they have that local initiative, which definitely supports the community, and they seem to be in tune with good business practices that,
If you're going to have a healthy business, you need a healthy place for the business to take place.
Right.
What's really cool, too, is the idea of that they see, and like all business entrepreneurs, they see a gap in need. They see a gap in service. And so, that's when a good idea and an entrepreneur who sees that gap says, I think I'd like to make a business out of this, because we need this service or we need this product. And that's what these folks saw and are doing.
That's great.
Just like a lot of entrepreneurs, right?
Mm-hmm. Innovation.
Exactly. It's wonderful.
I wanted to ask you if anybody, your membership, if there's a point in time when your members graduate, is there a point in time when you say to them, you're big enough and old enough now to go on out there on your own? Tell me about that.
Move out of the basement and get your own place.
Right.
Right, right. So for the Business Incubator Program in and of itself, where they have office space, yes. Although, of course they can continue to work with us and beyond that. But for the programmatic aspects Yes, there is a time limit where it's up to 3 years to be in the program. So then it's up to 3 years to be in the office space. And oftentimes what we've actually seen is that folks graduate out before the two-year mark. The average is 22 months to be in the business incubator program. They have either, you know, become financially sustainable. They've met their goals as to how they felt they wanted to use the program in the space. And oftentimes they outgrow the space. And they're ready. They are ready to leave that incubator. Yeah, to leave that nest.
That's wonderful. And, you know, you don't run on gas fumes. Do you charge a membership? Is it a volunteer organization, or how are you funded?
Yeah, sure. So we are a nonprofit business incubator. And then how we run, so the fuel, so to speak, the money, is we're one-third grants, one-third corporate support, so corporate partners, and then one-third through federal grants through HUD.
Oh. So the
they have a program for developing microenterprises, so small businesses, mm-hmm. and that's where that line comes from.
I see. So you guys have to do a lot of work, not only delivering services but keeping yourselves well funded.
Yes, and there's also earned revenue in there, of course. So part of that would be. Part of that would be conference room rentals. And then, of course, being in the incubator, there's a lease for the office and, you know, our workshops and things like that.
Nice.
So you're gonna deny the rumor that there's Bitcoin mining taking place in the sub-basement of the Hina Grimes right now, right?
No, she's not going to deny it.
We're a team of three, so we don't have time to be doing that. Just myself, our executive director, Marianne Christensen, and our operations director, Shannon Hundley. So
nice.
Well, you guys do really a terrific job, and we've had the opportunity to speak to and work with Marianne on a few occasions in the past. So we're delighted, and that was a terrific update on Hina Grimes. But it sounds like you're starting something new with this pitchfork. Competition. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. So we started the Pitchfork program in the fall of 2016 because we saw the real need for early financing for small business entrepreneurs. So this is past the bootstrapping phase, past the, you know, accessing friends and family, if there is that opportunity. And they really need money before they're perhaps bank ready. And we've really seen that decline in startups in rural areas, especially after the Great Recession. And so we decided to create a pitching program, a business pitch program, where entrepreneurs would apply and they would be heavily coached to do a compelling pitch to a room full of investors. And so we held that quarterly. And just like, businesses, we iterated almost every quarter on that. And what we decided to do this year is, instead of it being invite only to investors, we decided to, let's make this a competition, make it a bit more public, have some cash award, which is we've never done before, and make this more of a challenge to our entrepreneurs and to everyone to put their ideas and their business out in front and see what could happen. And we think money can provide that momentum that entrepreneurs need. It could also, we hope, build an entrepreneurial ecosystem and that pipeline that is really needed to encourage small business entrepreneurs to begin.
You're listening to WBNH 105.1. That's Bedford Community Radio. And our guest today is Kate Hickey. She's the program manager at Hina Grimes Center out in the Keene area. You mentioned, and we're talking about the Pitchfork business plan or business competition. It goes beyond plan, right, Kate?
It does. Yeah, it does. So we actually have two tracks, which I really love. So the first track, of course, is, you know, the business opportunity track. So they are in business. It is for profit. And that's the $10,000 cash award. But what we have that, you know, that what we really like is, you know, we have, everybody has ideas. Everybody has really great business ideas. Probably everyone has more than one business idea. And few of us really make that jump. But so we have an idea track that folks can present their business idea and they could possibly win $1,000 to advance that business idea. Because some of those ideas, they might need some money to investigate the idea further, perhaps with an attorney, with a consultant to get some research done. And what's fun about the idea track is that that'll be a People's Choice Award in September at the main event. And so folks in the audience will hear the pitches for the idea track and will vote as to who should get the $1,000 People's Choice Award. And then for the business track, back to the business track, those are folks who were focused in, again, on rural startup entrepreneurs. So rural being, we are actually looking to not just strengthen Keene and Cheshire County, but really rural areas. So we're accepting applications from Cheshire, Sullivan, and Hillsborough counties in New Hampshire, Windham, Bennington, and Windsor in Vermont, and then Franklin in Massachusetts. Now, some of those areas do have, you know, metropolitan areas. And so part of who's eligible beyond who lives in those counties are the businesses located in a town with a population of 30,000 or less. Hmm. So that's a kind of a tweak on the pitch competition from our perspective.
I'm surprised that that it includes outside the state businesses, because we always, when we talk about economic development and, mm-hmm. and dollars associated with economic development, it's very regional and very, and therefore state line sensitive. But you're saying no, not this competition.
Not this competition, because we really feel that, you know, all those, you know, the rural towns and cities in those counties and really almost anywhere, we have a lot in common, and we have a lot of, we also have a lot of really great talent that are located here. And I think when we look at our urban counterparts, there's already, an urban bias probably to the financing and amenities and resources. And so we really want to think about strengthening rural areas, not just our area, because rural areas are going to need to band together. And we've already seen that, I think, in other planning mechanisms and in how towns are thinking about how to collaborate with each other. So we really wanted to encourage a larger entrepreneurship ecosystem. And we thought a way to do that is to invite entrepreneurs from other states and other counties.
Great idea to enlarge the circle. Tell me, how is it that you not reach out to investors, but who would qualify for an investor? Can you give us like a profile of where you get the money for the competition? Is it established VC firms or just individuals who have an interest in business?
So for the cash prize, what we're doing actually is that the final round for the Pitchfork competition, for the Pitchfork Challenge, will be during our Radically Rural event in September. What that means is that there are events leading up to it, and our applications are due July 31st. And then we'll, from all the applications, we'll take the top 10 applicants to present to the semifinal round on August 23rd. And so from there, that evening, the judges, Andrea being one of them, will decide who the top six will go to the final round. And that final round will happen during our two-day summit called Radically Rural. And what's fun about, so Radically Rural is a two-day summit with five different tracks. And so it'll be arts and culture, journalism, working land, how we use the New Hampshire landscape, rural landscapes, downtowns, and entrepreneurship. So each of those tracks will have three workshop blocks, and the Pitchfork Challenge will take place in one of those blocks for the entrepreneurship track. And because it's wrapped up into Radically Rural, we're looking for sponsors, and that's how we're getting the cash prize.
So we'll ask you at the end of the show again to repeat this information, but could you just tell us now, how would people submit an application? And if somebody was interested in participating as a sponsor or just attending, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you? And then again, we'll, for our listening audience, we'll do this one more time towards the end of the show, but I think it's important enough to get this information out more than once.
Sure. Thank you. So to apply, folks can go to our website. The application is online, so that would be www.hannahgrimes.com, and you'll see under our program tab the Pitchfork Challenge.
Great.
And then the application is linked there. And then all the information, criteria, important dates to be mindful of as they go through the process, so that they can block them out on their calendar if as they progress.
And I'm guessing that if people go through this, or they're concerned whether they do or do not qualify, if it's worth their time, you're inviting them to call you to have a conversation before they progress, right?
Absolutely. Yep. Call, email, however they would like to learn more.
And that number is?
Sure. It's 603-352-5063.
Okay, great.
And is the competition open to any? No, it doesn't have to. Oh, right. It's
in those
states,
communities.
In those communities.
Less than 30,000 people in the town.
That's right. Sure. So wonderful.
Yeah. And it's really terrific. I mean, what I really appreciate about what you're doing, and I do work and research in community resiliency. And, you've really taken to mind the fact that communities are not defined by geography. They're defined by other parameters. And so reaching out for this commonality of interest and needs and wants, I think, really is in the keeping with the spirit of the most evolving nature of how we're beginning to view communities today. So congratulations. I think you guys are really on the cutting edge with that.
You know, Kate, I love the way you talk about what you do. And what we haven't found out yet about you is, what did you do before you were at Hannah Grimes?
Oh, sure. My background is actually in human services, and then...
which is really what you're doing.
Yes, I totally agree. So it's working with people, relationship building, and I really enjoy that. I did a brief stint in insurance, and then I did Peace Corps, which also had a human service focus.
Oh, whereabouts?
I did Peace Corps in the Philippines from 2006 to 2008. And when I returned, I went to Carnegie Mellon University to study public policy and nonprofit management.
Wow.
And then from there, I worked in an urban agriculture nonprofit. And from there, I came here.
Because you've brought all those skills. I mean, dealing with entrepreneurs, I mean, it's such a critical part of the community and their lives. And it's really very near and dear to people. Their business is just at the center of their life. It's their, their livelihood.
Yeah.
It's their family's livelihood. So,
They have a lot on the line. And oftentimes we see that. And I commend every single person who comes into Hannah Grimes, because it takes, courage to ask for help. And courage to say, I don't know where to begin, but I know I need help. This is where I'm at in the business process. You know, folks have been in, either they have an idea, they're in business, they might be a little overwhelmed, or sometimes we just have really great planners and they say, I want to do this right. And somebody told me I should come in here. So before I start, let's meet. But overall, it's wonderful for folks to feel that they can access us and ask for help.
Nice.
Yeah, I think you're really on an important point there in terms of being an entrepreneur takes a lot of courage. It takes a little bit of arrogance, because you have to feel you can take on the world and you can
and
do
optimism
some things. And optimism, and you have to be able to, you have to be able to stand alone. As you said, it's a lonely kind of activity, especially in the beginning. So, you know, I think you've really got that. And I wonder, as you, if you could, to tell us a little bit about, have you established any criteria for evaluating the people in the Pitchfork competition? And have you found some way to test or review those kinds of qualities in the individual?
So beyond like the hard, you know, business must be for profit, you know, may not have raised more
sales
than 250,000 in funding.
Right.
Yeah. What we felt the criteria for, you know, what will folks be judged on? Is that what you're asking?
Yes. And I'm also wondering if some of the soft skills we were just talking about, if there's a way to, are you trying to incorporate that in as well? Or is there an interview process or something that might help to uncover those people who really can make it? Because quite frankly, a lot of people begin down the path, but few people are able to complete it as an entrepreneur.
Right. Well, so what we decided the criteria would be for the judges to judge on is traction, team, product, their market, location, and then of course their pitch performance. So those are probably pretty standard variables for assessing that, viability.
Right.
And then I think when it comes to maybe that softer stuff, it's team. And you're right. You probably don't know it until you've had some interactions, but some of it is we'll know as we meet them.
Yeah, and I think you said that you're going to have at least one portion of the judging will be done by the audience. And quite frankly, I think the audience, you know, in some sense, crowdsourcing, they will detect. Some of this will be picked up by the antenna of the people who are judging. And so if you're going to have a vote from the crowd talking about at least the $1,000 grant, they could be an antenna that begins to detect some of this. And I think that's a terrific way to begin looking at it, because it's so hard to come up with a solution in terms of how you do that.
Do you, in order to perform that vote, do you use everyone take out your phone?
No.
App? Because you don't? What is it, ballot?
I don't think we're
show
going
of
to
hands?
Do it that way. I think we're going to, for folks who register for Radically Rural and then register for our track or for our block for the Pitchfork Challenge final event, mm-hmm. We're still working this out, but I think we're going to go analog in that it'll probably just be a wooden chip or something like that with folks who have registered. So we have the exact number of folks who have registered and attended.
What kind of numbers are we talking about? What do you expect?
Well, so this is the first time we've ever done this Radically Rural Summit, but we're anticipating about 500 people overall for all five tracks. And we're hoping that we'll be standing room only, but that it'll be 100 people in our track for the Pitchfork Challenge.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, partners like Community Loan Fund will be there. I'm guessing, you know, I mean, these other economic development groups are probably going to be interested.
So. Absolutely. And we will be pushing heavily probably next week on Radically Rural's early bird tickets. And of course, we will be sending this out to other partner organizations like the Community Loan Fund, like, of course, SBDC, Monadnock Economic Development Corporation, and things like that.
Tell me.
And beyond.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it sounds lovely and a really great event.
It's such a good idea. I'm going to tell people I thought of it, actually.
I want to know, who are the other judges? Can you tell us about that?
Sure. So beyond yourself, we also have Peter Hansel, the president of Filtrine. We have Patrick Niddle, who is the CFO from Against the Grain. We also have Jim Verzino, who is, I believe, the director and entrepreneur in residence of Wyndham Grows. So that's in Vermont, and that's a food accelerator, and Wyndham Grows. And then we also have Laurel Bissany, so the director of Rockingham Economic Development Corporation. And then we have, as a fun MC for the event, we have Clay Adams, the president and CEO of Mascoma Bank.
Oh, nice. I work with Laurel, and she's just such a great colleague and very smart lady.
Yeah. Yeah, we're thrilled to have such a great panel of judges.
So this is obviously occupying a lot of your time, but I'm guessing that there are other programs, other partnerships, other outreach activities that you folks either currently have or you're planning. Can you share a little bit of the other things that are going on at Hannah Grimes with us?
Sure. So one thing that we are also doing that I failed to mention in the beginning is, you know, I think of it as like Russian nesting dolls. So we are incubating a biotech incubator called BioNest. And again, I think we have so much talent and skill in our area. Sometimes we just have to ask for it. And so when we were having conversations about could Keen have a biotech firm or biotech incubator, we thought, well, why not? Because it's as Marianne says, it's not rocket science, but it is science. But we have people in the area who are well versed in these fields. So we started to meet regularly, thinking about having a biotech incubator, and then we decided, as an advisory group, one person in the advisory group thought, "Well, I already have a company. Let's do something interesting with it." He already has a full time job with Badger, but it's what's nice is that we're going to see how having a biotech incubator in our program could work. And so I'm working with him when it comes to the business side of things. And then we have an advisory group when it comes to the more life science, molecular biology part of his business and of the incubator, because I don't have a life science degree. And again, we have a wealth of experts in Keene and the Monadnock region who've offered to be advisors to the BioNest, to the incubator, and also to the business that's in the incubator.
Great. Well, you're listening to 105.1 WBNH here in Bedford, Business IQ Radio. Our guest today is Kate Hickey, who is a program director. Is a program director, program manager, Kate? Program director at Hannah Grimes, which is much more than just the business incubator in the Keene area, and is really one of the linchpin organizations out there helping to drive and really transform in many ways the economy. And we were just talking about some of their other initiatives. I'm curious, you were mentioning you do have a lot of capable people in that area, and you do have the two universities. I wonder, is there any interplay with the research being done by any of the university staff with some of the potential programs that you folks are looking at?
Or even beyond to the Manchester area, which is starting to develop a company and a whole center for human tissue growth, ARMY.
Right. Yeah. Right. So we just attended, actually, so New Hampshire High Tech Council, I think they're a med tech, biotech cluster, met over at Keene State College mid-May, I believe. And so we were there for that as well. And so it was wonderful, really great presenters and panelists and also just student groups. So it was really interesting to see what's happening on Keene State College's campus when it comes to their student and faculty research groups. And yeah, it's literally just down the road from us. And it was really enlightening to be part of that for that day. And so there's been some nice conversations for sure. And now, of course, ARMY is very interesting.
Right. Oh yeah,
and this is a terrific initiative. And I'm wondering, being familiar with the other business incubators around the state, as I'm sure you are, what's happening with the business incubators? Are they going the way that you are? They're each trying to adopt and take on something that relates to the personality of their community, or, you know, are they going in a different direction? I've actually lost touch with what's going on with the ones here in Manchester, but I know it's primarily technology driven. And while that's certainly important, I'm not sure that it fully represents the nature of the community here.
Right. So I think every incubator probably has their own purpose or goal and what they would like to focus on and excel at. And oftentimes there are themes of scalability, especially if they're a part of a college or university. I think oftentimes they're looking for that combination of student and faculty groups coming together, or alumni groups, to incubate those kinds of businesses that are part of their college heritage. So, I think overall, when you look at your purpose and your goal of your incubator, it must resonate for a certain reason. And I think they're all doing that well and thoughtfully and with great success.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Can you, without breaking any confidences, tell us some, you know, about some businesses that you feel have done a good job through their initial launch and gone on after?
You mean some of the graduates?
Some of the graduates, exactly.
That's a good question. Can you share some success stories of graduates that have been through the Hannah Grime process?
Yeah, so I think a couple of things. So we have, I'm just trying to think of.
I put you on the spot a little bit.
No, that's good. So I think successes to look at, defining what success looks like. So one person we had in our business incubator program was asked if she would come over to they were, you know, folks had come up to her, come up against her, I guess I would say, in a courtroom, and they were so impressed with her.
Was she a lawyer?
She was
a lawyer. I see. Okay. She wasn't being sued, in other words.
No.
Okay.
She's an attorney, Victoria Bernard. And, you know, they cultivated a relationship with her and asked her to be part of their firm. They were so impressed with how she handled herself and her reputation in the community and her approach with her clients. You know, one funny story for her is, and I hope she doesn't mind me sharing this, is that, you know, somebody from the other side said, the client from the other side said, gosh, how do I find an attorney like you? You know, just so kind. She's so kind and giving with her clients. It's a real relationship to her. I'm trying to think of somebody else. You know, we have somebody in the incubator program right now, Machina Arts. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them. They have been wildly successful in our incubator program, and I think their brand and their name is just exploding. And what they do are they're very arts-focused and arts-focused events. So if you have an event, it's going to be like no other event you've ever experienced before.
Very interesting.
What do they do? Are they?
So they do spatial design, interior design, and then they also do live music and event planning.
Wow.
Where they curate the whole entire theme and concept and execute it. I mean, if you hire them for all of that.
Yeah.
But
sounds like
they're
fun.
Just so imaginative and detail oriented. And it's been really fun to see them grow in the incubator.
It is interesting because we've had a couple of shows where we've talked about there seems to be throughout New Hampshire, at least in the southern part of the state, including us in over here by the Manchester area, a resurgence of interest in art. And we're seeing a lot more art activity. And I'm wondering, is there a makerspace as part of your incubator, or is there a makerspace in the Keene area that people are able to tap into?
So we don't have a makerspace associated with our center. And I believe that there is somebody who in Keene who wants to create that makerspace, but it hasn't I don't know. You know what? I don't know where it is on that trajectory of of becoming an actual makerspace.
Yeah, but of course,
there's talk about that, and we've seen. I think Peterborough has a wonderful one, Max.
They do.
M-A-X-T.
Yes. Yeah.
And of course, Claremont, I believe, has is a really beautiful one.
I've been to the Peterborough space, and it's just, you know, a great way to exercise, you know, that skill that you always wanted to learn or that you've already mastered. It's really
right. And then also just product design and you know, who has the space and the money for, you know, laser cut machines,
cutting
machines. Right. So it's a wonderful asset.
Yeah,
sure.
Makerspaces are taking off all over the region.
Yeah, we have some good ones here. We have a very nice one here in Manchester. We've had some people.
Concord is establishing a new one also. Yeah. And Somerville, Mass. I know they talk to that gentleman frequently.
All right.
Yeah, so, I hope Keen gets one soon.
So we're coming towards the end of the show, and it's been real interesting. I wanted to touch on one other topic before we begin bringing this to a close. One of the areas that we've become interested in here at Business IQ Radio are some of the new emerging business models that are taking place. And we're seeing a lot more of, I guess we used to call it social venturing. I think Andrea calls it B corporations now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if you're seeing any of that, if you're familiar with that, because it would seem the nature of the businesses that are growing and developing in your region might lend themselves quite nicely to this kind of a business model. So are you familiar with what I'm talking about here? Or if not, we can get a little tutorial. Yeah.
Yeah, I am familiar with the B Corp movement with the independent, I believe that's what you're referencing.
Yes.
And last year we did have a panel when it came to understanding B Corp, becoming B Corp certified. We had Rebecca Hamilton on that panel, as well as Clay Adams, because Mascoma is B Corp certified, and Merritt and Merritt, the law firm up in Burlington, and I believe also in Manchester, they're B Corp certified. So I think what's nice about B Corp certification is that it's independent and it's a way to codify your business philosophy mission, so to speak. And I think in general, while you don't necessarily need to be B Corp certified, I think we are seeing businesses that are forming, or maybe have already formed. It's not necessarily a new idea to have a purpose, to have be a bit more mission driven, to be community minded and sustainable, and a whole host of other things. It's the way B Corp did it. I think they just, like I said, there is a way to codify it and make it into a system.
Well, I think it's becoming increasingly important, especially as the younger generations have more financial power, that they really like doing business with businesses that also are a force for good or have that underlying mission. And I tell clients that if there's a way, you know, if that's part of their business plan, they need to communicate that, because it's important all over, but I feel as though the Monadnock region in particular, because you guys are so in touch with the environment, you know, it's rural and well educated.
Yeah.
So,
well, it certainly fits in with what could be a corporate identity and a feel in the corporate DNA, and you need to find some way to express it. And I think a lot of people are, and I think this is what Andrea is saying, people come into this without a knowledge of it, and they're feeling like they want to do something like this, but they don't realize that there are formal programs or that there's a structure and a format that they can follow. You know, Andrea, we should do a show on
B Corps
pretty soon.
Yeah,
well,
definitely.
You know, and there's a difference, I think, between being B Corp certified and being a B Corp, right?
True.
And so you can be an LLC, but be B Corp certified.
Yeah.
It takes a little bit of education, I think, for folks to understand what, and I needed that education as well to understand the difference, that you can be a B Corp and then there's, and that's separate, because And then there's B Corp certification. Yeah.
You know, there's an initiative, Businesses for Social Responsibility, and the university's Paul College is doing.
UNH.
Is launching. Mm-hmm, yeah. UNH is Fiona Wilson, Dr. Fiona Wilson.
Oh, yeah, we've had her on the show.
Mm-hmm. They're launching a new initiative where businesses who would like to pursue B Corp certification can use a grad student will be there to consult.
Help them with their assessment.
Exactly. And actually, that's what the SPDC sustainability program is all about also. So being able to get some advice or some technical assistance around that topic.
Well, I think there's
important.
A lot more to talk to you about, Kate, but I'm afraid that the clock is against us, as they say. You've been a terrific guest. We'd like to have you back. Please give Marianne our regards, because we know her and we think quite highly of the work you're doing out there. I mean, some of the topics we were hoping to touch on and we didn't even get to were some of the energy efficiency and other kinds of programs that are taking place that I know would be of interest and maybe have gotten some traction out in your area. Andrea is doing a lot of work with the utilities, the power utilities, and helping the Grocers Association and energy audits and things like this. And so maybe we'll have you guys back sometime. We'll touch on some of those interesting topics as well. Before you go, could you give us once again a summary? And I'd like you to tell us if people want to learn about the programs that you're running out there, how they get on that distribution list, and then some of the upcoming events, and if they want to become part of the Pitchfork competition, how do they do that?
Sure. Okay, so our website is the best place for all this information, which is www.hannahgrimes.com. And
could you spell Hannah? Could you? Is that one N or two? H on the end? Could you, no.
Two N's and an H on the end. So it's HannahGrimes.com. And so there you'll see information about the Pitchfork Challenge under our Programs tab. Also, that's where you can sign up on our homepage for our newsletter. Our newsletter always has tons of information about deadlines and workshops and pro bono coach highlights and things like that. And then for the Pitchfork Challenge, the application due date is July 31st. And there's two different tracks, the business track, which has a $10,000 cash award, and the idea track, which is the $1,000 cash award, which is the people's choice voting. And then everything is on there when it comes to who's eligible, and the criteria. And also we have on the Pitchfork Challenge site is a link to a list of the questions so that you can get a sense of what we're looking for before you complete the application, which is also online.
Oh, that's great.
So I think sometimes folks realize, oh, this is going to take a bit more time than I anticipated. So we thought it would be important to have the list of questions so people can review.
That's great. Well, thank you very much for your time today. And as we bring it close to the show, I turn to my friend and colleague, Andrea O'Brien here. And I say, Andrea, you know, as an expert in business, as someone who advises 200 plus businesses every year, if not more, on an ongoing basis, do you have some sage advice that you can share with us in, from a business perspective that help us grow our business IQ?
I do, but before I launch into that, I just would like to
also... That was a good lead-up, though.
Say, but you just... I can't stop you. Once you get rolling, I can't stop you. I wanted to say thanks to Kate for taking her time today and sharing her information on Hannah Grimes and the Pitchfork Clinic. So thanks.
Well, maybe you can share with her as well some sage advice.
I will. And so I'd like to thank you all for listening. And remember, you can spend more than you make, but you can only do it for so long.